Okay, welcome back, and we are now in a position to start looking at agenda item 8. It's on FAO-WHO Project and Trust Fund for Enhanced Participation in Codex. Can I invite Dr. Jorgen Schlund to make the presentation of the report, please?
Yeah, I think we don't need long presentation. I think people have looked into the papers we have. So I think it's more important if there are any questions that we could take the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for that brief intervention. And the document we need to look at is CX/EXEC07/60/8. It's a report prepared by the WHO Secretariat for the Trust Fund, and it's the 9th progress report, July-December 2007. And as the WHO representative has said, we would invite any comments on this report. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina, como coordinador de América Latina y el Caribe, hasta julio del 2007, ha manifestado en más de una oportunidad la preocupación de los países de la región en cuanto a la clasificación que se ha adoptado en el fondo fiduciario, pues creemos que no reflejan debidamente las condiciones de los países y las posibilidades que tienen de participar. La mayoría de los países de América Latina y el Caribe, bueno, todos son países en desarrollo, pero la mayoría de ellos tienen una vinculación muy estrecha con la agricultura, parte de sus recursos y en algunos casos un porcentaje importante de sus ingresos provienen de la agricultura, con lo cual tienen intereses específicos en determinadas reuniones del Codex, y de hecho así lo han demostrado cuando han tenido que optar y priorizar reuniones para participar. Generalmente se han orientado a aquellas reuniones de comités de productos en los que se trataban temas que eran de importancia para cada uno de estos países. Sinceramente, tenemos muchísimas dudas respecto de los informes. Todos sabemos de qué manera se hacen y de qué manera se adoptan muchos indicadores que la verdad no reflejan las posibilidades reales. También nos llama la atención, y es casi anecdótico, que Argentina siga estando en el mismo grupo. Entendemos que por la decisión que tomó la FAO respecto de la cuota que Argentina debe abonar a la FAO, se ha tenido en cuenta para eso los últimos indicadores del Banco Mundial, que son los que reflejan el año en que Argentina tuvo su mayor crisis económica. Ahora, lo que nos gustaría es saber de qué manera ha incidido ese nuevo indicador del Banco Mundial, entiendo, en el posicionamiento de Argentina en este cuadro, si es que se actualizan permanentemente de acuerdo a esos índices. Queremos señalar también que si bien uno puede considerar que los países menos adelantados son los que necesitan más recursos para participar, adoptar esa decisión en un organismo como el Codex, un organismo internacional que adopta normas, que no es un congreso, no es un workshop. Esto es un organismo internacional que adopta normas por consenso, Creemos que el procurar la clasificación de los países a través de estos indicadores, en realidad, podría hacer pensar que se está induciendo a el consenso de distintas formas, porque en realidad creemos que la forma más absoluta de garantizar la transparencia es que cada una de las regiones que tienen países en desarrollo participaran con la misma cantidad de delegados financiados por el fondo fiduciario, porque sería la única forma de garantizar que el fondo fiduciario no podría alterar la participación de las regiones y las decisiones que se adopten. Y la otra cuestión que deseamos señalar, que ya lo hemos hecho en años anteriores, es que por una cuestión de transparencia nos gustaría ver en estos informes para qué reuniones cada uno de los países ha pedido financiamiento. Siempre lo que encontramos en estos informes es qué países fueron financiados. No sabemos qué países son los que pidieron financiamiento para cada una de las reuniones. Con lo cual, seguimos sin entender cuál es el procedimiento que se sigue para definir cuando hay muchos países que piden priorizan la misma reunión, cómo se decide qué países van a tener financiamiento para esa reunión. Esas son cuestiones que hace por lo menos 3 años que las señalamos y que no tienen una respuesta adecuada y no se hace un seguimiento adecuado informando a los miembros del CODEX. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. Could we take some few questions and then give chance to the Trust Fund Administrator to respond, if you don't mind, WHO? Can we take some more questions?
No, I would like to respond.
Yes, directly? Okay.
To start with the last question, procedures followed when countries are given travel money for a meeting is, as we have tried to explain many times in many of these meetings, that we totally follow what the countries ask for. So the country are supposed to ask in a prioritized order, we would like to go priority 1 CCFH, priority 2 CCFL, and so on. If a country gets 3 trips, they will get priority 1, 2, and 3. If they get 1 trip, they will get priority 1. That's the way it's done. It's very simple, and we have tried to describe that several times. The second question, or the mid-question there, whether the trust fund provides undue influence of some countries in the standard setting procedure. I have big difficulty understanding the issue here. I would say that it is not a fair situation if some countries cannot participate in the meetings in relation to setting international standards. That is why the trust fund seeks to help these countries to go to the meetings. So how that can be construed to be undue influence, I fail to understand. I think it's exactly the opposite. If we are keeping some countries out because we have a system of many, many meetings in CODEX and they don't have the money, we should try to rectify that, and that is what the trust fund is trying to rectify. If it was perfect, it could help all countries go to all meetings, but that would be a total budget in the size of at least more than CODEX is using, and that would be probably totally impossible to get. So I cannot agree that we are exerting undue influence. I think we are doing exactly the opposite. The third thing about how the countries are put into the groups, we are following exactly the World Bank criteria and criteria by the UN system in relation to both economical development stage and socio-economical indicators. And we have described that also in the documents. It is clear that the whole outset of the Codex Trust Fund was that we help the poorest countries more than the richest countries. That was the whole idea from the start. That has been the description of what we wanted to do. Therefore, 60% of the money will go to the Group 1 countries, which are the poorest, 30% to Group 2, and 10% to Group 3. And in addition, there will be a quicker phasing out of the Group 3 countries, mainly the richest of the poor countries. That is what we have described from the start. And until we get indications from others that that should be changed, we will continue with that. It is rather important to try to continue with the same criteria in a fund like this, where we have donors coming in wanting to make sure that we have stability and that we are trying to achieve the same aims. Apart from that, we hope that we will get lots of good suggestions of how we can improve the trust fund. And at the end of this meeting, this executive meeting, we will have a brainstorm meeting with a number of people from the outside looking at the trust fund, looking at how we can improve the functioning of the trust fund, because we are clearly understanding that there could be many ways of improving the trust fund. Lastly, we do not agree that the trust fund should only or even mainly help countries that produce food. Codex is for standard setting for countries that produce food and for countries that import food. And you could even say, you could even argue that it in some cases is more important for the importers to be participating in the standard setting of Codex. So up until now, we have not said that it's the producers that needs to be helped. We have said that it's all countries that needs to be helped. But obviously, if we have other ways of explaining that, we would be happy to try to make the points in other ways so that it maybe becomes more clear. But this has been the policy ever since we started the trust fund. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. And there was also the other request, that of providing the list of countries which requested, and not only a list of countries that got the financial support. Could you react to that one?
I think the issue was that everybody somebody wants to know which meetings the different countries have asked for. Since we are only giving money to the according to the priority list of the countries, I fail to see what information could be derived from countries here by seeing which meetings the different countries seek to participate in. Of course, if the executive committee or the commission feels that that is extremely important, we will try to do that. I would like to point out, though, that we are trying to move this trust fund with very little administrative staff, and unless there is very clear indications why it would make sense to tell everybody what everybody has been seeking, we would try to avoid that, because it will take away some of the workforce that we have to do good things in the task force.
Thank you, WHO, for that explanation. Jordan, please.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais. أريد فقط أن تقديم الشكر لإدارة حساب صندوق الأمانة وللدول المتبرعة. وهنا أيضا لابد سيد الرئيس من التأكيد أيضا على موضوع على أهمية استكمال قاعدة بيانات المشاركين في أعمال الدستور ضمن حساب صندوق الأمانة لإجراء عمليات الرصد والمتابعة. وشكرا.
Thank you, Jordan. And then I have Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Permettez-moi tout d'abord de remercier encore une fois le Fonds fiduciaire et tous les pays donateurs, et aussi exprimer tout l'intérêt de ce rapport-là qui montre à la lumière de nombreuses participations des pays en voie de développement de l'intérêt du fonds, parce que vous pouvez constater que grâce à ce fonds, plusieurs pays ont pu participer. C'est vrai qu'au départ, il y a eu quelques difficultés de participation, qui, je dirais, en tout cas, selon notre expérience, n'est pas seulement de problèmes liés même au secrétariat, mais aussi l'inexpérience des pays, parce que on constate ces derniers temps que vraiment la communication a été beaucoup améliorée entre les pays participants, en tout cas que je connaisse, et le Fonds fiduciaire, ce qui a permis désormais d'avoir la participation, tous les éléments à temps, et permettait aux différents participants d'arriver aux réunions. Donc nous, c'est l'occasion vraiment encore une fois de soutenir ce fonds-là, parce que pour les pays en voie de développement, je pense que c'est une opportunité de participer. C'est pourquoi d'ailleurs ce matin, lorsqu'on parlait de la contribution obligatoire des pays, mon inquiétude était que si on maintenait ce principe, on aurait pu perdre ce qu'on a pu gagner avec le fonds fiduciaire, c'est-à-dire la participation très importante des pays qui seraient obligés peut-être d'être bloqués parce qu'ils n'ont pas payé leurs cotisations. Donc, je voudrais aussi souligner, et j'ai compris que ce rapport devait faire surtout le point de ce qui a été fait, mais je profite de l'occasion pour encore rappeler ce qu'on a discuté à la fin de la dernière session de la commission du Codex, si vous rappelez la réunion informelle. Beaucoup de pays en voie de développement ont exprimé le fait, leur satisfaction de la participation aux réunions, mais nous avons pensé que pour avoir plus d'impact au niveau national, ce serait important de réorienter la participation, l'appui du Fonds fiduciaire en appuyant le renforcement des capacités internes, notamment les comités nationaux et d'autres activités qui permettent aux pays d'avoir la faculté de s'organiser, faire connaître le Codex et préparer mieux leur participation aux réunions. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Marie. And then I have Coordinator for Asia, please.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to thank the donor country for giving a task back. The secondly, also, I would like to express my appreciation to the WHO for the managing of the task back, which is based on the transparency, priority, and so on and so on. But I would like to ask to the WHO or FAO or Codex Secretariat, do we make some evaluation or monitoring to the country who get the trust fund? Because this is very important. Trust fund is not only for the meeting, but how the country can contribute in the meeting or in the development of the codex system in the country. I think this evaluation is very important, and that give a good contribution in the participants in the codex. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Asia, and I'm sure WHO would like to respond to some of these observations.
Yeah.
WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's clear that we've heard from member states and also in the analysis of the situation that strengthening the systems at the national level to back up what we're doing in or what countries are doing in Codex, that's a very important issue. And we would like to be able to do that. That's one of the reasons why we have this brainstorm meeting at the end of this meeting. We want to find new, innovative ways of doing that. In doing so, we have to watch out that we don't go into traditional capacity building efforts, because that is not what the trust fund is for. So going further into the system at the national level and trying to strengthen laboratories and things like that, that's traditional capacity building. That's being dealt with other ways. So we should focus it on the backup codex system, just as explained here from the delegate from Africa. So I believe that this is one of the key things that we will try to do to this end. Any way that we can be reporting back more efficiently, we would like to do within the limits of the workforce that we have. So any specific suggestions, you know, how it could be done better, we would like to have, you know, and if you you can send it in emails to us, or you can do it in some written form, and then we will try to do that. Thank you.
There was also the question of evaluation raised by CCHR. Maybe if we'll say something on that.
Evaluation what?
Monitoring of the impact. Countries of impact.
Upon the beneficiaries.
What use has been made of the participation?
We are not going to make an evaluation of whether a country is saying something, or whether what they say makes sense, or whether they have an impact. We are not. We are monitoring whether the countries are present at the meetings. We are monitoring whether they make interventions. But we cannot do any more evaluation of participant countries from the trust fund. And I don't think it would be right in any way to try to do anything like that. But we are able to document whether the countries were at the meetings, and we are also able to document actually down to almost the number of interventions. We would not like to put that out in the open domain, though, because it doesn't mean anything. You can have countries making 10 interventions that doesn't mean anything, and another country that makes one that change everything. So then we would have to have some sort of quality evaluation of these, and we would really try to avoid to do that. We don't do that with any other countries. We don't see why we should do that with the countries that get support from the trust fund. Thank you.
Thank WHO and FAO. Are you on the same thing before I give the
it
floor?
It is on the trust fund, yes, it is.
Can I invite...
Yes, please.
Coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Aunque preferiría cederle el turno al representante de la FAO si él desea hacer una intervención antes.
Thank you very much, Coordinator. And FAO, please.
Thank you very much, Coordinator from Latin America. Now, I think there have been some remarks about the use that is being made of the participation in COREX meetings using the trust fund. This is, of course, any evaluation of the impact of, let's say, an input of this kind requires some time, of course, to see any impact. However, I think there are some ways that the administrator of the funds, and particularly the consultative group that is overseeing the management of this fund, can do, and perhaps during the brainstorming session that we are going to have at the end of this week, we will be exploring some of these ideas on how to, one, make sure that the trust fund, or the support that is provided by the trust fund to some of the delegations is put in good use. That is, there is a direct impact later on the management of the COREX matters at nationally. Some of you probably know that FAO has been helping a number of countries in the establishment of national COREX committees. And I think this is one way of looking at or seeing how these national COREX committees are really working in the field, is through the process of selection, first of all, of the committees that are most relevant to their national interests, and second, of the persons that will be selected nationally to represent their countries in the committees, in the COREX committees. And that process is absolutely essential in the impact that is expected from any participation in COREX meetings. If you have the wrong person, then you are almost certain that there won't be any impact at all. But if you choose the right person, you are, of course, giving a lot of guarantee that something will happen in the development of the process nationally. So that is something that we should be exploring. On the, Mr. Chairman, on the There is another development also which some of you of course know about. It's this e-learning course that we have on electronic course that we have on Codex, and it is on the web, and we are encouraging now all the national Codex committees to use it, and it's available in multi-language. I think this is one of the elements that would improve perhaps the impact of the use that has been made of the trust fund. So we shall do more in the future to ensure that this e-learning course is used nationally for this purpose. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, FAO, for that information. Now back to coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente, y gracias a la FAO. Supongo yo que cada vez que se toca el tema del fondo fiduciario, lo primero es agradecer a los países que están haciendo donaciones y también invitar a aquellos que pueden a que hagan, incrementen su donación o empiecen a hacer donaciones. Entonces eso me gustaría que quede sentado. Sí, ciertamente existen en la región algunas dudas sobre la idoneidad del criterio seleccionado. Esperemos que en estas reuniones que está citando el distinguido representante de la FAO para reflexionar sobre las posibles mejoras del fondo fiduciario, podamos tener un foro para discutir esto con mayor detalle y tener ocasión de asegurar que este fondo está pues permitiéndole al mundo contar con mejores normas internacionales y bajo criterios justos. Quisiera solicitar al distinguido representante de la Organización Mundial de la Salud y en este caso del Fondo Fiduciario un poco más de información sobre algunos resultados que llaman nuestra atención en el documento que amablemente prepararon. La primera es exactamente cuál fue el criterio que alcanzaron Chile, Costa Rica y Panamá y Seychelles para ya no recibir apoyo del fondo, porque al menos en la versión en español del documento usa un término un poco extraño que dice que se licenciaron, pero no me dice nada el término. Y asimismo el caso de Antigua y Barbuda, que no me queda muy claro, porque parece que llegó entonces al máximo nivel de desarrollo Antigua y Barbuda, y veo a Brasil, por ejemplo, que está en el grupo 2, cuando Antigua y Barbuda entonces pasó al grupo 3B, que es el más desarrollado de todos. Entonces, son meramente algunas inquietudes ejemplificativas que agradecería mucho me pudieran proporcionar mayor información. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, coordinator, for Latin America and the Caribbean, and I'm sure WHO will be just too willing to respond. And as WHO prepares the response, can I go to Argentina, please?
Gracias, señor presidente. Un par de cuestiones a agregar a lo que señaló el coordinador de América Latina y el Caribe. Entiendo que muchos de los miembros de la FAO y la OMS han tenido oportunidad, no sé, los representantes de otros países, de visitar la región de América Latina y el Caribe. Y la verdad que nos cuesta muchísimo pensar que se crea que países como El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, pueda estar en condiciones de poder financiar la participación en reuniones. los indicadores que se toman no tienen en cuenta la realidad. No sé cómo los arman. La información la proveen los países, pero ustedes saben perfectamente que esos indicadores no reflejan la realidad. Entonces, me parece que sería sumamente adecuado que se le pidiera opinión también a los representantes regionales de las organizaciones madres, porque lo que hay que saber es cómo vive la gente en el terreno para saber si realmente ese país está en condiciones de pagarle a un delegado para participar de una reunión en Codex. Y la otra cuestión que también habría que preguntarle a esos mismos representantes de la FAO y de la OMS en estos países es si los países que van a recibir plata del fondo están en condiciones de aplicar mínimamente las disposiciones que está adoptando el Codex. Porque se supone que la consecuencia lógica de la participación es la adopción progresiva de las normas del Códex, y eso también debería tenerse en cuenta. La segunda cuestión que quería mencionar está relacionado con las actividades de cooperación o de creación de capacidad que son financiadas por el fondo fiduciario. Y en relación a esto, lo que me gustaría saber es cuál es la razón por la que hay tantos múltiples fondos para la cooperación. No sé cuál es la actividad específica en este campo de la OMS, pero la FAO destina fondos a la cooperación. ¿Por qué los fondos del fondo fiduciario tienen que aplicarse también a la creación de capacidad? La idea primigenia había sido la financiación para participación en reuniones. ¿Cuál es la razón por la que hay que aplicar estos fondos también a la cooperación cuando la FAO tiene programas para cooperación y creación de capacidad? La tercera cuestión es que me preocupa mucho lo que ha dicho el representante de la OMS respecto de que en realidad la mayor participación que se debería dar debería ser de países importadores, porque me siento en la obligación como representante de un país agroexportador y en desarrollo de decir que podría ser con la participación de los países importadores nada más tuviéramos normas excelsas respecto de la inocuidad. El problema sería el acceso a los alimentos, porque llega un punto en que la producción más disposiciones no puede resistir. Y la última es una cuestión de índole práctica que ya le señalé al representante de la OMS y que tiene que ver con el tema de la asistencia médica cuando los delegados de los países en desarrollo menos adelantados participan en reuniones de Codex financiados por el fondo fiduciario. Esto me parece que es un tema quizás delicado para el tratamiento con los países, pero más delicado todavía para los delegados. Lo importante es tener certeza de que alguien cubra cualquier contingencia que exista en el viaje cuando los delegados participan, porque no necesariamente los gobiernos se están haciendo cargo de los seguros médicos de viaje cuando los delegados salen de su país. Y esta sería una consideración a tener en cuenta. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina, for several questions raised, and of course some of those questions would also be better discussed in the planned brainstorming meeting. And of course the classification, questioning the validity of the classification, it's not really something that we can do in Codex because it's not our own making. But I'll leave to WHO to respond, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Whether the criteria are just, I mean, you can always discuss that. I think that the criteria we're using, we're taking from other UN organizations and from the World Bank. We are in no position to question the economical and socio-economical grading of countries from these organizations. We don't have economists working in the Trust Fund Secretariat, and we don't have time to do that. We believe that the best objective information is from these organizations that deal with that all the time. But if there are other suggestions, other organizations that might have better data, we are very open to use that. When I don't have the Spanish version here, but when we refer to countries that have graduated from the trust fund, it means that we have set a sunsetting clause into the trust fund, which means that if a country gets support from the trust fund, they will only get it in a certain period. If it's one of the rich countries, they will get it in a very short period, only 3 years. And then it goes down to 50% and then it goes off. If it's the very poor countries, they will get support in approximately 6 years and then we stop supporting. The idea was that the trust fund will help the country start participation. If it's a relatively rich one, we'll stop quickly. If it's a relatively poor one, we'll stop only after 6 years. That's the idea, and that's what we call graduate from the trust fund. It's probably a bad word. We didn't have a better one. Indicators not representative. We don't have information that the indicators are not representative of the situation in countries. Of course, there can be lots of discussions about the distribution of wealth in countries, and you can have a high income per capita, which means that three people are extremely wealthy and everybody else is very poor. But we have no way of being able to looking at that. If somebody has good suggestions how we can do that, we would like to include that, but at the moment we don't have such information. We do believe that the indicators are representative of the situation in countries. That's the information we have until now. It was mentioned whether one should measure the adoption of codex standards by some of these countries. Again, we have a problem separating the different codex members into some that we will monitor and some that we will not. We have a major problem saying that when we are supporting a country to go to one or two or three meetings, we will then also monitor whether they are actually putting codex into their national legislation, because we should then also monitor all the other countries. I mean, why would we make a difference between that? I don't think that that would be a fair way of moving forward. But I think it's a good idea to promote the adoption of codex standards in the national legislation. And that is what we are talking about, that we could try to do in a more focused manner in each of these countries. That would be a good way forward, we believe. There was a question about many different funds for cooperation. Yes, there are many different funds for cooperation. I cannot explain to you why there are so many. I can explain to you that the trust fund was not made, as I believe I just said before, was not made to do capacity building. And therefore, what we talk about in countries now is to say, the trust fund should support countries for efficient participation in codex. And efficient participation means that you have to do some preparatory work before you go, and you have, when you come back from codex, to go into your national system and try to discuss what happened at that codex meeting. These two areas that are going on in countries, we have not been very efficient in supporting. And we believe that there would be new ways that where we could support that so that countries can participate more effectively in codex. Not only go to the meeting and sit there for 6 days, but actually have some idea of what the country wants by preparing well and some idea how you can actually implement when you go back. So this is not the same as any other type of, this is not the same as capacity building the way we normally understand the word capacity building. Then there is the issue about whether if it should be only importers that we are supporting. I don't think anybody has mentioned that it should only be importers. I think that I mentioned that it's as important for importing countries as for exporting countries to participate in the Codex project. That was my point. in relation to insurance, we believe that we have a major problem, as stated by Argentina. We have accident insurance in for everyone that we support, but we don't have general health insurance. And some countries will provide that for their the people traveling, and some will not. And that's a major problem. And we are trying to find a way to do that. Usually, we would expect the country that has a traveler supported from trust fund to raise a TA, at least for the insurance purposes. But we know that not all countries do that. And we need to find a way of doing that from on our side. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. That answers very competently the issues raised so far. And Mali, you want to come back again and briefly, because time is running out, please.
Right, d'accord. Merci, Monsieur le Président. C'est juste pour dire deux mots par rapport à cette question de renforcement des capacités. En fait, moi, je ne fais pas allusion au renforcement des capacités traditionnelles, hein, comme le représentant de l'OMS vient de le souligner. Il s'agit tout simplement de maximiser la participation des pays, parce que lorsqu'on veut que les pays participent, c'est pour avoir des résultats. Pour avoir ces résultats, il faut voir tout. Toutes les facettes de la participation. J'ai eu l'occasion, j'espère que beaucoup l'ont eu, le dernier rapport qui a été fait par le docteur Slorak, à la demande de son pays, je pense que si vous regardez très bien, ces questions sont largement ont été prises en compte. On voit très bien que beaucoup de pays ont participé à plusieurs rencontres à ces réunions, mais quand vous regardez quel est l'impact de cette participation au niveau national, ce n'est pas à hauteur de souhait, alors que c'est ce qu'on veut. Il ne s'agit pas de faire venir des gens à des réunions pour assister ou partir, mais qu'ils puissent venir défendre des préoccupations nationales et lorsqu'ils repartent, qu'ils puissent partager ce qu'ils ont eu comme expérience et permettre aux choses d'avancer à l'intérieur du pays. En fait, il s'agit de ça et je pense que là, le rapport que le docteur Slorak a mis le doigt là-dessus et je pense que c'est important si nous voulons aller de l'avant qu'on puisse faire attention à ça. Autrement, je pense que dans certains pays, je prends le cas par exemple de l'Union monétaire ouest-africaine, on vient d'adopter un règlement pour tous les pays. Il est heureux de constater que dans ce règlement, il a été clairement dit que les normes de référence, chaque fois que c'est possible, c'est les normes du codex. Et cette organisation mettra des efforts pour aider les pays à participer. Et là, l'appui qu'on peut apporter à ce genre d'organisation qui recouvre plusieurs pays, ce n'est pas de donner de l'argent pour leur participation. L'organisation le fera, mais on peut appuyer pour permettre à l'organisation même d'avoir la position d'appuyer les pays membres, de préparer une position sous-régionale pour participer aux acteurs du Codex et pouvoir les démultiplier pour avoir des résultats sur le terrain. En fait, c'est de ça qu'il s'agit. Merci.
Thank you, Mari, for emphasizing what has also been mentioned by WHO. In fact, that's exactly what WHO meant. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have had a very rich discussion on this agenda item. And as a committee, I think we can welcome the report, this ninth report, progress report. And indeed, we commend the good work done by the Trust Fund Administrator and the Consultative Management Group for good work done. And of course, for their openness, transparency, and the willingness to receive more suggestions as to how best the trust fund can be managed. We note and indeed appreciate the generous donations from the countries which have contributed and they continue to contribute into the trust fund. In particular, we welcome the interest by the developing countries to contribute into this trust fund. And of course, also as a committee, we would like to encourage all the other countries which have not come forth to contribute to the fund to come and, you know, contribute to the fund. And again, we also want to ask for some more responsibility and commitment from the countries that have participated or that have benefited from this trust fund. That would be our summary of this discussion this afternoon. And unless there are some other announcement from the secretary, I'm tempted to adjourn this session. No. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For security reasons, shortly after the meeting is over, this room needs to be locked and closed. So I would like to invite delegations wishing to continue personal conversation to find other venues to pursue your talks. Thank you.
Very much, Secretary, and we still have some few agenda items to finish besides my wish to finish the agenda item today. So join the meeting and we meet tomorrow at 9:30. Thank you very much.